Wyoming rancher John Fenton once made pretty good money working for the US oil and gas industry. Now he says all the industry's brought him and his family is, quote, a pot of poison. The Fenton family story featured in an Oscar-nominated documentary, Gaslands, which was heavily attacked at the time by the oil and gas industry. Since then, John Fenton has become a powerful voice for the anti-gas movement in America. He's here in Australia at the moment on a two-week speaking tour funded by New South Wales Greens MP Jeremy Buckingham and community groups through the Lock the Gate Alliance. John Fenton joins me in the breakfast studio. John, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning.
You had 24 wells drilled for so-called tight or shale gas on your property all before 2006. You say all this brought you as a pot of poison. How has this changed your life, John?
Well, for one thing, it's really shown me what's important. Prior to this, I had actually worked in the gas industry, and as a lot of people, I'm sure, in various parts of Australia are finding out, you can make a decent living working for this industry, but that very often comes with a hidden price. In my case, in the beginning, I didn't really see what it was costing me to actually make that living.
So. And just before we come to that, what you say it's cost you, I mean, the reality of the economics of this is you can make a fairly decent living just having these wells on your property, can't you? I noticed that according to Bloomberg News, you receive up to $2,000 a year for each of the wells from the Canadian company Encana.
Yes, that's correct.
And one fellow farmer says that's about double what you can get from a crop, is that right?
It depends on what crop you're growing, I would imagine.
So let's talk about what you describe as the pain it's brought you, the pot of poison.
Well, the biggest thing that you're going to see if this comes into your area is the lack of control that you have over your own piece of property and what happens around your family. For where we live, we don't sign a lease agreement to allow them on our place. We live on an area called split estate ground where the minerals rights are separate from the surface rights. And so we have very limited say over where the drilling occurs or how it occurs. And they can actually post a very small bond and come onto our property and drill anywhere that they deem necessary. So it really takes the control away from the people who live on the land. Your privacy goes away. You're going to see your environment change dramatically. And this applies whether it's tight sands gas in our case, or in northeast Wyoming where we have what we call coal bed methane, which is the same as your coal seam gas here in this part of Australia.
So the major concern for you and your family was the intrusion on your property rather than the impact on the water supply or...
Initially, yes. Initially it was, because that's what you see first. That's what's most obvious when you look out your window or you drive down a road that normally it's only you and your family on, and it's heavily industrialized and there are large trucks coming and going 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and that's what I suppose the industry would say, that's why they're paying you.
Yeah. But I would gladly pay them what they pay me every year if they would go away.
The industry argues things are done differently now. They've learnt lessons. Have they learnt lessons on that front, or do you accept they've learnt lessons in terms of the impact of fracking and how they actually do the drilling?
I really don't think they've learned many lessons whatsoever in the United States. And you know, be mindful that a lot of what goes on in the United States, it's the same people helping you guys out here in Australia. And what they seem to be better at in the United States has learned better is to make excuses.
The documentary Gaslands and featured you as part of the push to expose the impact of fracking on the water table. You helped initiate a Federal Environment Protection Agency inquiry into the impact of the gas boom in three states. It ended up initially blaming fracking for the pollution of an aquifer deep below the town of Pavilion, near where you lived. Are you still of the mind that fracking did pollute the water table? What's happened since that?
I think that the whole process contributed to the contamination there. Fracking was a part of that process, because what we have learned is that we started off initially when they drilled the wells, the casing and the cement that industry touts as being your protective layers were not installed correctly. And this happens in a lot of areas. It's actually proven through a Schlumberger document, which is one of the large fracking companies, that they have approximately a 9% immediate failure rate of well bore integrity. So if you start out with a well that already has problems isolating the production zones from, say, your water producing zones, and then you go in and do processes such as hydraulic fracturing, you take a small problem and just make it that much bigger by fracking it.
Is that an acknowledgement, though, that the fracking itself is not the issue? Because I note that President Obama's former EPA Administrator, Leeson Jackson, has apparently acknowledged there is, quote, no proven case where the fracking process itself has affected water.
Well, you know, there's a real problem with that, because we've got studies that were initiated in the United States. And as soon as they got close to showing results, such in Pavilion, where in December of 2010, they released a draft report with initial findings stating that there was contamination related to hydraulic fracturing, we then see the political side come in. And there's massive amounts of pressure placed on the Environmental Protection Agency and the other agencies that were trying to do this investigation. And they, under extreme political pressure and what other pressure, I'm not sure, turn these investigations back over to the states in a lot of cases. And ours was turned back to the state of Wyoming, who has always said there's never been a problem. And our investigation is now a state-run investigation funded by the gas industry.
It's 18 to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is John Fenton. He's a rancher from Wyoming, but he's also a bit of a loudhailer against the shale gas industry and the dangers of fracking as he sees it. He was part of the documentary, the Academy-nominated documentary, Gaslands, if you've seen that. John, the coal seam gas industry in Australia makes the point that we don't have a gasland scenario here because our industry and our methods are very different to the deeper shale gas that's being exploited on your property and other parts of America. It's a different process. Do you agree with that? Do you know much about that, the situation
here? Yeah, I do, because I'm very familiar with coal bed methane, which, as I said, is the same as coal seam gas, and we have a lot of coal bed methane in Wyoming, not only in the northeast part of the state, but just 20, 30 miles from our home. We call it in the States coal bed methane. It's the same as coal seam gas here in Australia. You see massive dewatering to bring the methane up out of the coal seams. Very often you see the soil become laden with salt because of all the water that's dumped. And in agricultural terms, that's death for a farmer.
So salinity is still an issue, but not so much the fracking and the fracturing, the damage to the aquifer.
Well, you know, I would say, if they want to really prove that there's been no cases of fracking contaminating water, they need to start releasing the constituents that they use, because a lot of these fracking chemicals are not even disclosed to the public. They're not disclosed to the very people who live on top of the water and the ground that these chemicals are being injected into. And, you know, it's easy to get hung up on the process of hydraulic fracturing. What we have to look at is the whole process. Mm. You talk about an area like the Pilga, which reminds me a lot of parts of the United States with the trees and the environment and the very special animals and plants that you have there. And you bulldoze roads and you make these large, huge areas to bring this equipment in. You fracture all that environment. You doze trees down that are hundreds of years old. You have roads, you have bare dirt that every time it rains, you get sedimentation. You destroy a huge piece of ground to drill a hole that may not produce anything. And now what we're seeing in Wyoming is 10 years after the coal bed methane boom, we have 3,000 abandoned wells. It's come and gone. And now the people of Wyoming are paying the bill to go in and plug and abandon and reclaim these wells that industry walked away from.
There is another side of this in terms of the finances. Of course, in California, the Monterey Shale area is four times larger than the Bakken, which is has underpinned America's current, you know, economic mm-hmm. boom. It's massive. It is a gas boom. I guess a lot of Americans love it.
They do. I think it's easy to look at this from a distance and see the good things. If you live in the middle of this, if you were directly impacted by this, your perspective is going to change pretty quick. This brings up a key point for me. This is not only about the environment, this is about human rights as well. In North Dakota, where the Bakken is producing massive amounts of oil, and they flare as a result, this natural gas comes up with the oil, they don't have the infrastructure to deal with the gas. They flare $100 million worth of gas a month. They burn it into the atmosphere. Just next to the Bakken is the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. There are people this winter on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation freezing to death because they can't afford propane. 40 miles away, they're flaring $100 million worth of gas a month. This is not an industry that comes in and makes life better. This is for profit. And people are going to find out that it's not only environment, it's human rights. This impacts every portion of your life when you take a rural area or you take a remote area and you industrialize it for the sole purpose of making profit. And the people pay the ultimate price as well as the environment.
John Fenton, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, ma'am.
John Fenton is a rancher from Wyoming. He's currently in Australia on a tour of areas that are in the centre of the CSG boom here in this country, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. That tour is funded by the New South Wales Green MP Jeremy Buckingham and the Lock the Gate Alliance. John Fenton, thank you.
Thank you.
It's 14 to 7 on Breakfast.